Blog Talk Radio.
This episode of Attention Talk Radio is brought to you by children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention, with your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper. Our topic tonight, ADHD, the power of community. We're going to get to the content in a moment. Before we do, we'd like to thank children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder for bringing this program to you. In celebration of that event, we're anxious to give away free digital copies of Attention Magazine. To get yours, just listen to our show. We'll be sharing a secret word a couple times. Write it down. Listen to another show. And write down the secret word of that show, and then just email me the two words. That's all you need to do. Email address is attention@attentiontalkradio.com. When we get it, we'll forward it to Chad. We'll get you a PDF copy of the current edition of Attention Magazine, and they'll send you a PDF copy of the next edition when it's in print. We have a little tip that we're going to share with you that Chad made, and we'll get into the show.
Women diagnosed with ADHD in adulthood are more likely to have depression, be stressed, and have low self-esteem. It's recommended they talk to a professional to develop better life and stress management strategies. But here are some tips. Identify the sources of stress and make changes. Develop healthy self-care habits, such as getting adequate sleep, exercise, and good nutrition. To learn more about ADHD in women, visit chad.org.
Thank you so much, Chad, for your continued support. For those that are not aware, Chad is the largest not-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD. We encourage all of our listeners to either donate or become members to support Chad. Financial stability is really important for them to have the resources to have people lobbying on Capitol Hill for the ADHD community and working with different regulatory agencies on wording to make sure that those with ADHD get the accommodations that they need in order to thrive. Again, for more information, to donate or to become a member, go to chadd.org.
So, Jan, can you introduce our guest?
Jeff, our guest today is Renee Brooks. Renee is a testament to late life success in overcoming ADHD challenges. Despite being diagnosed three times during her childhood and as a young adult, she only received successful treatment later in life. Recognizing the importance of her journey, Renee channeled her passion for supporting and empowering Black women by founding Black Girl Lost Keys, which aims to help Black women with ADHD to thrive. Renee has contributed to Kaleidoscope Society, ADHD Women's Palooza, Mindfully ADD, and ADHD Essentials. Additionally, her written work extends to Healthline, and she serves as a patient contributor for Teva Pharmaceuticals Life Effects. So, Jeff, we're happy to have Renee with us today.
Renee, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Jeff. It's a pleasure.
It's fun, everybody. One of the things about being Attention Talk Radio is fun because I usually interview the keynote speakers at the annual conference on ADHD. I was lucky to talk to you a couple years ago, but not in a full, like a whole show. So I'm excited about today, and it was interesting because when I did see you do your keynote speak, it was where you brought everybody to tears and a standing ovation at the end. It was very inspirational. So as an aside, that was kind of cool. Thanks on behalf of the ADHD community for standing up and doing that. So,
thank you.
Our topic today is ADHD and the power of community. And I want to start this off by everything we do. I talk about executive functions and how they were kind of involved in things. And I talk about how convenience is not always very productive. And I like to share that notion of imagine you're in a work environment and, you know, somebody's working late at night and it's really convenient at that point in time for them to send maybe an email to you that's got a complex concept. And you get it the next day and you read it and you respond to them. It takes a lot of thought to respond to it. And then hours later, they respond to you. And the thing about ADHD is, from an executive function perspective, is when you're dealing with a content that is really complicated, you have to kind of go back and refamiliarize yourself with everything that you were thinking about when you sent the last email. I call this the booting up process. And so when you're going back and forth by email with these conversations on really complicated subjects, I think you'll notice a lot of times people don't address their emails like there's one there, but they don't do it. they do other ones because it's a lot of effort to kind of get into. It's kind of complicated. And so these conversations sometimes that happen over email for a long period of time, it's convenient, but I say it's not very, very productive because you spend a lot of time refamiliarizing yourself with what you're talking about. Whereas if you're in the evening and got somebody, they say, listen, I need to schedule an appointment tomorrow to have a conversation. It's not necessarily convenient at that time. However, it's a hell of a lot more productive because you get on the phone, you have the conversation, you get the resolution, and you really kind of move on. And one of the things about community that I've noticed in the last many years is people with ADHD are having a tendency to stay home out of convenience and not going out to reach out to community. And it sounds kind of convenient, but I don't think there's that connection to there. And I really want to emphasize that today. And to begin, Renee, community, can you describe to me, like, what is community to you? Like, what's the essence of that?
Oh, having someone to lean on when you're having a rough time, having someone to share your celebrations with when you're having a good time, and having people to just, I don't know, commune with who understand you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. What I like is, like, you said to celebrate. And it's kind of funny because I, like, it is fun to have somebody to celebrate, not bragging, just like, hey, I did this. I'm kind of proud of myself, right? And it's really kind of cool if you've got ADHD and you've got some challenges because you might have something you're going to celebrate that other people don't get. And having some community that really understands really what, like, you might be sharing, hey, I did this. It might not register with other people, but definitely with people within that community. And so it is really, really kind of important. And so you're kind of about building community yourself. Can you tell us about some of the things that you do to build it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I run a Facebook group called the Unicorn Squad. It's for Black people of marginalized genders. And I use that group. There's Black people all over the world with ADHD, but oftentimes we won't know anyone in our regular everyday lives who have it. So for the first time, a lot of people are meeting another Black person with ADHD when they come into that group. And from there, people are able to touch and agree with each other all over the world. It's really exciting stuff. And then,
go ahead.
That's all right. I lost my thread. It's all right.
It's people with ADHD are Black, and did you say marginalized genders?
Yes, I did.
Wow, that's an interesting cross section. I got to believe worldwide that's a significant number of people. The percentage of it might be small, but it's maybe hard to find those people out there. But bringing them together, you've got a commonality that's somewhat unique, right?
Yes, that's the thing. It's this, I agree with you, it's a cross-section of people that don't even realize they need each other until they get into community with each other. And when they do, it's just all of this love and respect. And just like we were saying earlier, there are people who are there to celebrate with you and understand what you're going through that don't necessarily, you might not have met otherwise.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to pause here for a second. God, about 10 years ago, I think I did a show on being ADHD, and I'm going to use the word gay right now just because it's kind of the terminology we used back then. It was fascinating to me because I had a couple people on that I was interviewing that were anonymous, and what was a thrill for me was there really wasn't any information out on the internet with regard to that, and we were having a conversation about it, and what's it like to come out in the workplace if you have ADHD, and what's it like to come out in the world if you're gay or whatever. And it was a fascinating conversation to me that was a whole world that I didn't necessarily realize, because, you know, there's different types of ADHD, there's different types of, like, sexual preferences and stuff like that. And the differences mm-hmm. between coming out, you know, it was one thing in a workplace, it was another thing in the other area. And it was funny because the interviewers that I have, I hadn't really thought about it, but I got an education, like, it's nobody's business, right? And it was funny because the people that were talking, I could tell that they were really kind of coming together. And then I remember there was at the end of it, like, okay, if you go to the ADHD conference, wear armbands so that we know who we are and we can kind of collect together. And I never was a part of that experience, but I did hear that that happened. And when you find that tribe that you can actually open up into and talk to, it's got to be, to me, transformational because you feel understood.
Yes, exactly that. It's important for people who are marginalized in more than one way to be able to, just like you said, collect. The armband was a great idea.
Yep.
But I wish they could have kind of synced up and planned to meet at a specific time. What is time, Jeff, to us? Meeting up at a specific time. Never, as I'm saying it, I'm like, you really think that's a good idea, Brooks?
Yeah. Touche. Well, so I want to kind of transition a little bit your experience, but I do want to sit and say is I want to give a plug to every single year I do a promotion for the annual conference on ADHD. And, you know, I talk about how there's great content at the conference. But I also talk about I have great content. I mean, I have you on the show right now, and we're having a really good discussion. I think it's helpful for other people. But one of the things I really want to emphasize is when it comes to community and kind of connection, there's nothing like actually being in somebody's physical presence. And I always promote, like, you need to go to the conference every year, not to go see the presentations, but to see everybody in the hall or at lunch and talk to the person next to you to make kind of those connections. And so I want to talk about some of the things that you're doing online because there's sometimes people kind of can't come together. But even if you come together and meet for that first time and kind of get that personal kind of connection so that you have that, you can kind of go and kind of grow it from there. As a means to do it. This is always a plug for the conference. If you've never been, you should go at least once just to meet your tribe, if you will. And so before we kind of go on, you want to make any comments on that and share maybe some of your experiences at the conference with just interacting?
You know, I think it's a big difference. It took me several years before I decided to go to the conference time. And I'll tell you, there are two people who I met who lived within maybe 30 to 45 minutes of where I lived in Pennsylvania. And we had all communicated for years, but meeting them that first time, being able to give them a hug and let them know what their work meant to me, it does make all the difference. So if you're able to get to a conference, please do, because those people went from being, you know, my online friends to really being more like a piece of my family.
Touche. Tell you what, let's go on to a break. When we come back, I want to talk about like your conference experience recently, because it's a good transition part. For those that are listening, to learn more about Renee, go to blackgirllostkeys.com. Renee, I got that. It's singular, blackgirllostkeys.com, correct?
You got it right.
All right. A big shout out to Time Timer, who's been a longtime supporter of Attention Talk Radio. They've got a great tool for what I call clock math. It's a cognitive shortcut for people that struggle to manage time. Our secret word tonight is community, and with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
Are you a parent of a child, teen, or young adult with ADHD? If you're like us, you're always looking for something you can do that will really help your kids. Impact Parents gives you the tools with guidance so you can empower your kids so they can learn to manage their own lives. For confidence in parenting and peace in your home, download a free guide with 12 key coaching tools. Go to impactparents.com/parentADHD for the guidance you've been seeking. That's impactparents.com/parentADHD. Start making things better for your family today.
Transform lives as a professionally trained ADHD coach at the ADD Coach Academy. ADHD coaching is in demand, a calling, and a career. Learn how you can change lives by going to addca.com/ATR. That's addca.com/ATR.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by gigcoaching.com.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Renee Brooks. We're having a conversation about the ADD, but really this is the power of community. And we're really talking about community beforehand and some of the relevance. And I was also kind of weaving in there for selfish reasons that notice of convenience versus productivity, because I really want to inspire people sometimes to get up and go out and get in the community and as physical proximity as you can. And we were kind of talking a little bit about the conference as one of those places. And I want to kind of transition here because I really want to emphasize the power of it. And Renee, you were telling me experience, and I don't want to get to the real nitty gritty, but you were struggling for a period of time, if I'm not mistaken. And you went to a conference and you were kind of embraced. And I got a sense it kind of transformed your mindset, your attitude and your emotions. Can you just tell us a little bit about that experience?
It was this last conference. I was having quite a bit of struggle. I had a bad year with my mental health, and I was not going to go to the conference. And I had several friends step in and say, no, you've got to be there because we need to be able to see you and throw our arms around you and show you love. You see, I'm getting choked up here. It really was a meaningful experience. It was.
It's okay.
Those people who I've met through the online communities first, and then, you know, we've all over the years begun to go to the conferences and meet up with each other just to hear, I need to be able to see you because you're my sister and I want to be able to make sure I can look you in the eyes and see if you're okay for real, was a beautiful experience, Jeff. And you can get a lot of that online, but it's not quite the same.
And everybody, I just you can tell just in her voice that, you know, what it was. And I remember when you were telling about that, it's like when you got there, they ran up and just gave you a big hug and put your arms around you. And when you told me that story, I just felt a flood of emotion and feeling, like the comfort of that connection and being there because people could relate and understand what you were going through. And my sense is it really took some walls down and just really made you stronger. Am I putting words in your mouth?
It really did. You're not putting words in my mouth at all. It made me feel like it was that I was worth it again. You know, you start to wonder when you go through a time like that, if what you're doing, you know, you start to question your purpose. I'm a full-time ADHD creator. I coach. I do a lot of different things in the community. But even I start to question myself sometimes when things are not going well. And this was a year where things were not going well at all.
Keep going.
I'd actually started to wonder if it was time for me to step away or if I was as effective as I thought I needed to be in order, you know, to keep working within the community, because you don't ever want to feel like you're taking from the community rather than giving to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you it's kind of like you give and you take. You know, sometimes, you know, a lot of times when you're helping people, well, I've realized sometimes it's really a lot about the person and wanting to help. They feel value. Like, helping is not just about the person that you're helping. A lot of people, it brings them a lot of joy for them to have been a trusted friend that they could help somebody. So there's worth on that.
True.
Then on the other side of it is that notion of that you're being helped. And if you like that story, I like this years ago, like 15 years ago, I was going through a major, major health issue. And when I got it, I had to go away for a period of time. And I basically told everybody, like, I don't call me. I don't want to talk about it. Like, I don't want people, how you doing. I just didn't really want that. And for the most part, everybody was respected. But I had a friend who kept calling me up and said, how you doing? How can I help you? And I'm like, it got to be really awkward because I'm like, how you can help me is quit asking me. I made that statement up front. And into it, at some point in time, I had to speak out to him. And it was funny because he actually began to realize at that point in time is he felt helpless. And he wanted something to do to kind of help him, like to feel good about the situation. And from that point in time, it changed my life because, you know, I've been in times where I really want, I mean, I was like, this is a friend. I want to help him. I feel helpless if I'm not able to do something. And so we bring into this thing and you're with people, and sometimes you need to be in the presence of people in a sense to care of them because they want to help you. And I'm hearing a little bit is your friend said, no, girl, you get here because we got to be here to help you. And when you got there, I mean, it was great for them and it was great for you, but you were both kind of really helping each other, which is what kind of the essence of the power of community is really all about.
That's exactly what the power of community is.
And forgive me, I'm asking this, and if I don't want to get too deep, but I kind of feel like emotionally it transforms you. I mean, you said I'm worth it again, but it got the emotion kind of turned and gave you that spark to kind of stand up and go back at it in a very positive way. Is that accurate?
That is exactly what happened, because it made me realize I am as important a piece of this community as everyone else is.
Yeah.
Because when you're sitting and you're by yourself, it's easy to let that negative voice kind of take over and tell you, well, you know, there are people who are doing more than what you're doing and better than what you're doing. And, you know, what you're doing doesn't matter. And to have so many people come up to me, and I know some wonderful people in the community, and they do amazing work, and to hear them come and say, I'm so glad to see you.
Yep.
I'm so glad to see you. I'm so glad you came. Made a huge difference to me.
Yeah. And this is just the power of the connection, being with your tribe and to be understood. It's, you know, one of the things I know in coaching is when somebody calls me up, as always, you listen to their story. And the greatest compliment I ever have is when somebody says, oh my God, I feel like you get me. Like you understand me. And as an aside, I've run some group mentor coaching classes before, and I really try to help young coaches that are really nervous about coaching about, like, first of all, I want you to think about in your lifetime, all the people, like, make in your mind, how many people actually get you, got you, like, how, understood? And I'll say, okay, how many had three? And I've actually had a person say three. And then I say, how about two? And I'll hear a couple. But, you know, Renee, I have to stop there because if I get to who's got the ones, the zeros start crying because it's a very emotional thing. And my point when I'm with these people is if you're with somebody and you get them, you're the first person that they feel like truly gets them. And that moment, their guard comes down, they relax, and they start to actually kind of transform. And I'm sharing this story because it's a way that I try to help people understand what it is to get. And this issue that we have that we're talking about, AJ, the power of community and going in where other people get you and you feel understood. I mean, we can hear it in your voice based off of your story, right? And that's what this is really, really all about, to go with people that understand and get you so you can actually be who you are. And that big hug when you come walking in, like, hey, come over here. We've been looking for you. God is powerful, really powerful.
It is so powerful. And just as you said, it's transformative. It's really transformative, and it makes you feel – it made me feel like I could go on. As I said, you know, I was in a dark place, and it began to pull me back from where I had been.
I'd like to hang out here, everybody. Emotions are intense here, but let's go to break and let's come back because I want to talk about how this is kind of transformed in your actions. Everybody, learn more about Renee, go to blackgirllostkeys.com. Again, blackgirllostkeys.com. Our secret word is community, and with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Change your life by learning more about managing ADHD. Other places give you a few tips. The ADD Coach Academy will change your life. To find out more, go to addca.com/ATR. That's addca.com/ATR.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
Could hiring an attention coach really help you move forward? Does a child get wet when they dive into a swimming pool? You can get started moving forward today. Just call Dig Coaching Practice at 813-837-8084 and schedule a free consultation. Tell us you heard about us on Attention Talk Radio and get 50% off your discovery session. For more information, visit digcoaching.com. Don't delay. Do it today. And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Renee Brooks talking about the power of community. A lot here. I want to kind of turn now, like, Renee, I think there's a lot of people out there that are kind of unique in some type of way, and they have family or friends around, and I don't think they feel misunderstood. I mean, I think they often feel misunderstood and kind of lost. And I was hoping that today's show would really be inspirational for them to really begin to seek out community. Ideally, you can do it in your area. I really would like to encourage people to say, listen, seek out support groups, different things in your area, and go there. I've seen more and more where people are attending some support groups via Zoom. My personal feeling, this is just my feeling that doesn't have to be fact, is there's a difference between physically being in somebody's presence and being on a screen. And I encourage people to go do that. But if you're also some maybe in a rural area or some other things, this notion of finding your tribe online as a means to kind of make that connection, because being out there without your tribe or without community, I got to feels very disconnected and very lonely, and there are resources to go do that. And I know you're giving back by this group, this Facebook group that you have. Just, can you just talk to us a little bit, not in just generalities, like how you started it, how it's kind of come along, how people find you, and some of the power of it?
Absolutely. I started it because there would be lots of instances where Black people would be in groups and they would ask questions and say specifically, you know, as a part of my Black experience, I'm having this happen in conjunction with my ADHD, and people would work to silence them and tell them, oh, that doesn't have anything to do with Blackness. We all just have ADHD. And those people would get silenced or they would get attacked. And so I decided to create a space where they could talk about the things related to their Black experience without having anyone kind of tell them they had to shut up. And so I created this Facebook group so that people would have a place where you could just immediately say, this is what's happening, and people would get it without having to ask additional questions. You get that confirmation, that immediate feeling of, wow, someone understands me.
And when did you start this group?
Oh, gosh. I want to say 6 years ago, maybe now.
Wow.
And there's a nice little membership of people who come, and it's LGBTQIA friendly. It's for Black people specifically. So there's that. If you want to join, you have to be a Black person, because we really work to try to keep the pushback and the lack of understanding to a minimum. So it's not because, you know, we love everybody, but this is specifically how this group runs.
Yeah. So I want to chime in here in something. There's a marketer out there. I think his name is Scott Godwin or something like that. I've been on his blog, but I never forget, years ago, he sent this this blog out, and he said, you want to drive yourself crazy? Like, if you go somewhere and give a presentation, go look on Twitter and look at what everybody's saying about it. And his point really is like, I didn't say that, because everybody has a completely different interpretation of the same experience. And in coaching, you know, when I'm mentoring other coaches, I'm like, you know, when you're coaching somebody and you get off the call, you have to understand that your belief, thought, recollection, understanding of that experience couldn't be more different than the other person. The time that you begin to think it's the same is when you really lost it, because everybody has their own filters and their own way of doing it. And I think sometimes a lot of people, like, I get it. And, like, what cracks me up is when they say, I get it. And I'm going, like, well, if you got it, your behavior wouldn't be what you are right now. So you're not getting it. And so sometimes I think it's important sometimes that you have some of those things, because you don't want people walking in who say they get it that actually don't get it. Because that can be somewhat disruptive. And, you know, sometimes I think our world gets kind of weird about, like, shutting things off. We want to be open but kind of closed. And if you're going to be in a community and you need people to get it, you really need truly people that you can identify with. And so that's just a Jeff-ism that I'm sharing that I think is really kind of helpful, because it's we all have a different perspective of the experience. It's not the same. Sometimes I think there's no other perspective than you have to be that person in that experience. So.
Exactly.
Now, I'm going to guess that you've got some people that have been regulars over a period of time, and some people kind of come and go periodically. Is that right, or is it more?
Absolutely it is.
Okay.
Absolutely, that's right. There are people who are staples in the community, and there are people who come for a time, and then, you know, they fall off. We used to do a Monday night Zoom call every Monday, and there were a lot of regulars in there.
Did you have an agenda for those Zoom calls? Do you have an agenda, or you just show up and just, like, a group of people, like, meet in a restaurant? Okay.
Just show up like a group of people who meet in a restaurant. And it used to go on for, oh, my, I started it at 9 p.m., and it would run till 12 midnight sometimes. And I had to stop doing it because I have to get to bed a little earlier than what I used to. But
yeah.
It was a wonderful, wonderful time.
So I want to kind of pull this thing together, but, you know, you take a look at community. You have Alcoholics Anonymous is a community, right? Those are people that are coming together that share a similar struggle, that come to support each other every day to kind of to help each other with their sobriety. Or you could be ADHD, or you could be working with, you know, marginal, like, gender and black with ADHD, but the issue really is the power in that community. It can do so much more for you, and the show is really about talking about this, using your personal story to inspire everybody, because at the end of the day, I would like to hope encourage people. It's a little bit effortful maybe to get out to find your community, but it's powerful and worth spending the effort.
I completely agree.
Any final thoughts before we close this out?
Don't sit by yourself. When you're diagnosed with ADHD, especially at first, you're kind of isolated a bit because maybe you don't know anybody else with ADHD. Make sure that you use those avenues to reach out. I know Chad and Ada both have wonderful groups that you can meet up with, and a lot of them actually, correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff, meet in person in the bigger cities.
Yes.
So there's just like we were saying, go ahead.
There's many support groups in some of the bigger cities that are like ADHD based, but there's also some online support groups, kind of like yours, that ADA sponsored, which is the Attention Deficit Disorder Association, that are really more secular. Sometimes it's just ADHD in men or ADHD in women or ADHD and LGBTQ type things. The point really is, if you go out there and search, there's usually a community somewhere that you can kind of fit into and be a part of. And we hope that you're inspired to go reach out and to get part of these communities for yourself, but also to help out others that you can identify with and help them along their journey. So anyway, with that, Renee, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure. I've been wanting to have this talk with you for some time.
It's been great. Everybody, go to blackgirllostkeys.com to learn about Renee. Our secret word tonight is community. With that, we hope you've enjoyed this edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.